right? And in our Bible class, starting next Sunday morning, we're going to be focusing on the book of Acts, okay? I'm going to do two lessons that will be introductory lessons, okay? In the first lesson, that's all we'll be focusing on, all introductory material. In the second lesson, we're going to focus down on the theme of the book of Acts. And then, after that, we're going to be doing somewhere between 40 to 46 more lessons on Acts. And we're just going to start focusing on sections of the book. Okay, and we're going to study it similarly to the way that we studied the book of Genesis. Okay, so we'll talk more about that when we get there. A second thing that we said that we were going to do is we're going to give assignments every week for you to do something with regard to sowing the seed of the kingdom. Okay, and they're little bitty things. They're not going to be difficult things. They're not going to be something that you need to be scared to death of. But simple things to get us talking to other people, okay? Folks, until we start talking to others, we will never convert them, okay? Now, your life may get their attention, okay? You may live in such a way before them that they say, man, I'd like to have what he's got or she's got. But eventually, guess what we have to do? We have to talk to people, don't we? And it seems as though we, for some reason, don't like to do that, do we? It's difficult to do. We know that individuals aren't going to be very receptive at times. And so a lot of times, even when we have an opportunity to speak, guess what? We don't speak, do we? We just kind of sit there. And what I want to do in a very non-threatening manner is I want us to approach individuals every week. Okay? And just think about this. If every one of us in here, okay, I don't know how many are in here, 45, 50 people. Just think, that's 45 or 50 people that we're going to say something to over the course of the next week. Okay, it may get to a point where you're talking to one person almost every week. Okay, after the end of 52 weeks, guys, guess what? He's either going to get sick of you and kill you, or you may convert him or her. Okay, and we don't know, do we? Okay, so I've got little assignments here for you, okay? And so I'm going to hand them out to you so that you can't say, well, I didn't get that. Okay, you're going to get it, okay? But here's the assignment, okay? Speak to one of your friends, family members, or coworkers, and ask them two questions, okay? Question number one, where do you go to church? Is that pretty simple? You think they'll tell you? Yeah, folks, you can walk somebody to Walmart and ask them that, and they'll tell you. Did you know that? You don't even have to know them, okay? So if you don't want to ask a friend, just ask a stranger. But there's a second question, and it's this, and this is the interesting one. Why do you go there? Now, folks, we're not asking these questions to rebut anything, okay? Now, if it turns into a longer conversation because it's a close friend or whatever, that's fine. But all I want to know is, where do they go and why do they go there? Okay? Because that helps me to understand their thinking, does it not? And maybe later on, I can talk to them about some other things based upon the information that I know as to why they go to church. Okay? And there's thousands of reasons why people go to various churches. Did you know that? Thousands of reasons. So those are the two questions. So I'm going to get a couple of folks to help me hand these out. Make certain everybody gets one. Don't want any excuses. None whatsoever. All right. Very good. Very simple. Sometimes we'll have you hand out a track. Sometimes we may have you hand out a DVD to somebody. Sometimes we may ask you to have a certain individual tell you their interpretation of a certain passage of Scripture. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? And just see what they have to say about the Word of God. And folks, what's interesting is that as long as you are asking the questions for information and there's no real rebuttal, guess what? People will talk to you all day long, okay? Because they're giving you what? Their beliefs, aren't they? Okay, but what may happen over the course of some time is you may open that door to be able to talk to them even more about a lot of things as far as Christianity is concerned. Okay, so give it a shot. Don't be scared, and Next week when we come in, I'll ask, anybody ask the question to someone, and I'll get two or three of you to reveal the answers. That'll be interesting, okay? So we'll find out. And don't ask your wife, you know. Wife, do you go to church? You know, why do you go there? Because you make me. I don't want to hear that, okay? Don't do that. Ask somebody that's out there in the world, okay? I could just imagine the answers I'm going to get. All right, very good. Folks, in our previous lesson, that was the one I just preached, we talked about what? Conviction. Good, I had one conviction I heard up here. Conviction, right? And what are convictions? Deeply rooted, firmly fixed beliefs, right? And we listed 10 of those in our lesson, okay? And folks, we've got to believe those things, okay? We've got to believe them deeply and firmly, and let nobody ever move us away from those things, okay? Now, once you have that, okay, then we'll go out into the world, won't we? Okay, or at least we should go out into the world. And in order to do what we've got to do, and tell people about these beliefs, you and I are going to have a second characteristic. It's not enough to have convictions, okay? And the second characteristic is dedication. Okay? Dedication. And that's the title of this lesson. Okay? Church growth through dedication. We've got three or four points that we're going to be talking about, and I just want to get your feedback, and you can talk, and I'll lecture, and I'll preach, I'll do whatever to fill 40 minutes of time, okay? But let's start off, and let's ask ourselves this question, okay? Always need to define terms, right? So what do we mean when we say dedication? What's the definition of that word? Dedication. Who? Say it out loud. Committed, okay. Anybody else? Huh? Devoted? Okay.
Loyalty?
Good. Anybody else? Steadfast? We've read the thesaurus, but we haven't read the dictionary. Okay. all of those are good words, right? Okay. Let me give you a dictionary definition, okay? Dedication. The complete giving of oneself to a purpose or cause. Dedication. Okay? The complete giving of oneself to a purpose or cause. Folks, when I read that definition, there's three points that stand out in that definition. Okay? Number one, complete. Right? The complete giving of oneself. What does that mean? Complete. All. Here we go. Right through the thesaurus again. Anybody else? I'm just kidding with you. Anybody else? That's true. All of. Oh, now we added a preposition. Okay. All of. Okay. Anybody else? Entirely. Okay. Everything. Right? Let's flip the coin. Nothing left out. Isn't that right? We talk about complete. Nothing left out. Now, are there relationships that we enter into as human beings where we are to be dedicated? What is one of those? Marriage. Okay? Folks, we ought to understand the definition of the term in our practice of our marriages, shouldn't we? And yet sometimes that can be difficult, can it? Sometimes it's not easy to give my complete, whole, full, nothing left out self to another person. But when it comes to soul winning, if we're going to be effective, we've got to give our complete self to the task. Turn over to Mark 12. Mark 12. Let's start at verse 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. I always like to go to Mark's gospel when it comes to this concept of love, because Mark includes with all thy strength. Okay? The other three involve the inner man, don't they? Heart, soul, mind. And then Jesus also said, all your what? Strength. I don't just want the inside of you. I want the outside too. I don't want just your rational, emotional being, your mind. I want everything. I want mind and body to completely, fully love me. Folks, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? A complete giving of self. Notice point number two. A complete what? What's the definition? A complete giving of self. There's the second part, you see. A giving of yourself. We talk about self. What are we talking about? Giving of self. What are we talking about? Give yourself. Okay, submission. Let's stick with self. What are we talking about? We say, give yourself. What's that mean? Okay, time. That's a part of myself. Talents. Okay, everything you're capable of, which I'm trying to separate some of those things out. Okay, I've got time. I've got talents. Okay, your physical abilities, your money, right? Okay. It may involve my family, right? Anything that I possess, folks, whatever it is, those are the things that I give. My mind, right? My emotion, my knowledge, everything about me, folks. That's part of myself, right? Now notice what he says. It is a complete giving of self, of you. Let me ask you this. Do any of us ever try to practice our Christianity through somebody else? Do we ever try to do that though? Try to? Okay. My wife sends cards, but I never send a card. But we sent them. I ain't never wrote a card in my life. But we send cards. See? Somebody goes by to visit at the hospital, and guess what? Yeah, we went by this week. No, you didn't. Your wife did, or your husband did. You didn't go. And you didn't give yourself to it. You see, sometimes we think that we can practice our Christianity through someone else, right? Hire the preacher, let him do your soul winning. Right? He's the one who does that work. That's what we hired him for. Okay? So here we are trying to get somebody else to do my work. Right? No, folks, dedication is the complete giving of oneself, myself, to something. Okay? But notice that it is a what? It is a giving, isn't it? It's a rendering of myself. Turn over to Luke 9. Luke 9. Somebody read verses 23 and 24. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Is that a complete giving of self? Is that what he's talking about? Oh, absolutely. Okay. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Don't matter what you want anymore. You're not important anymore. Okay? What's important now? God's will is important now, isn't it? Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Now notice what we have to do. Does that mean that we might even have to die for this? Yeah. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. Folks, I may have to give everything, might not, including life itself. That's what we're talking about. We talk about dedication. Okay? The complete giving of oneself, thirdly, to what? To a cause or to a purpose. I used to work at Federal Express. Federal Express is a slick organization, aren't they? Okay. Good organization. Glad they're out there. Get your packages fast. They bring you into orientation, and guess what they convince you, or at least try to convince you as a worker about? You're involved in a mission, a purpose higher than yourself. You want to know what they call those packages? Every package is the golden package. The golden package. And it is your job to make certain what? That golden package gets to its destination. Tomorrow. You see, what are they trying to convince me of? There is a purpose here higher than you, right? You're not the important one. We're going to pay you good to do a good job, going to give you good benefits, but guess what? The important thing is what? The golden package. Do we have a cause higher than ourselves, folks? Is the salvation of the souls of men higher than me? Listen to what Paul says. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. That's found in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now notice how Paul begins. I am a what? Debtor. What's a debtor? Yeah, somebody who owes something. Most of us in here are ones. Aren't we? Okay? You know, you got a bank, hot on your heels every month. Get that note? Regular. Right? We know what it means to be a debtor. Paul said, I am a debtor. And look to whom he says, I am a debtor. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Who's he talking about? I'm a debtor to who? I'm a debtor to humanity. Now here's my question. Usually I am a debtor to another person because of something that person has done for me, right? Brett gives me $1 million and guess what? I'm a debtor to Brett. Why? Because he gave me $1 million. Here's my question. What have the Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, and the unwise done for the Apostle Paul? What have they done for him? Nothing. Not one thing, folks. What has anybody in this community ever done for you? Not very much. We've had clothes drive, give out food, we do all kinds. Ain't nobody done nothing. They ain't even showed up here. Crazy people. But guess what you are? You're a debtor to them. Paul says he was a debtor to them, even though they'd done nothing. What made Paul a debtor, folks? What Christ had done for him. And what he now has in his possession, the message of salvation, to give to them. I'm a debtor. See, do we feel our debt to humanity? You see? Part of dedication. There is a cause that is higher than us, and that's the debt that you and I need to be paying to those individuals who are lost. Not because of what they've done for us, but because of what God has done for us. Notice he uses in verse 15 the word so. Because of this. because I'm a debtor, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You see, it was that debt, that higher purpose, that higher cause that made Paul ready to do what? To preach. When you and I feel our debt, then guess what? We can't help but open our mouths. Be ready to preach. And the word ready is an interesting word. It means this, to be both willing and, what do you think the second word is? Huh? Say it one at a time. What'd you say? Margaret? Able? Need to be able. Okay. And that's relatively simple because we know what we just did to become a Christian, right? You know, you just got to tell somebody what you did. Have you done this? Then you ain't a Christian. You know, it's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, to know what we need to be telling people. But that word, I am ready, means willing and eager to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Eager to do it. Folks, I bet Paul got out of bed in the morning and couldn't wait to get out the door, don't you? He couldn't wait to get to the next city. Can you imagine Paul cooped up on a boat for a couple of months waiting to get to a destination? I bet he hit the beach running. Don't you? He says, I am ready to do this. I'm willing and I'm eager to preach the gospel. Because I understand I'm part of a what? I'm part of a higher purpose than myself. Did Paul give it all? Folks, he gave it all. He's a perfect illustration of what? Dedication, isn't he? Point number two. We've got it defined. Dedication defined. Here's the second part. Dedication decided. Okay? I have to do what? I got to make up my mind that I'm going to be what? Dedicated. Right? I got to make up my mind, folks. I got to decide. I'm going to be dedicated to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no if, there's no ands, there's no buts. I'm going to do it. But they're going to laugh at you. I'm going to do it. They're going to reject you. I'm going to do it. They're going to shut the door in your face. I'm going to do it. How can you be so determined, folks? Because you made up your mind to do it. Isn't that right? Turn over to Luke chapter 14. When you sit down and make up your mind to do something, one of the things that you must do is count the cost. Is that true? Got to count the cost. Okay? And every decision that we make has a cost, doesn't it? You want to go buy a new car, right? Do I want the added debt, even though I'm going to get better gas mileage? Do I want the higher insurance premium, even though I'm going to look a lot cooler in this other car? You know, you got to count the cost. This is what Jesus says. This starts in verse 26. If any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Boy, did he tell you what the price is? Yeah. He says, guess what? You got to give it all. Right? You may have to give up every bit of your family for me. And if you're not willing to do that, then guess what? Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. It's impossible. Now notice what he goes on to say. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What's the purpose of a cross? What was the purpose of a cross? Huh? Death. To die. He says, you've got to do what? You've got to bear your cross. You've got to be willing to what? You've got to be willing to die if need be for me. And if you don't, then you can what? You cannot be my disciple. Folks, those are strong terms. And that's not Victor Eskew talking. You can argue with Jesus about that all you want to. Okay? Just take it up with him. Now look what he goes on to say. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? Okay? whether you have sufficient to finish it. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to what? To mock him. We were over in Jonesboro not long ago, and we're making the trip back and forth from Jonesboro to Paragould, and we go the back road. Well, when we were there, this was way back in the 90s, and there was a road that they were starting to do a lot of building on, a lot of new houses and stuff. And there was a very unique house that they had started to build when we were over there. And every time you passed it, you say, man, look at that house. That's a funny looking thing. Drove by there just a few weeks ago, and guess what? It still hadn't been finished. Funny looking house, still kind of standing there, and you just kind of drive by and you go, look at that, never finished. Something happened, didn't it? I don't know what happened. They didn't have enough money. When they finally got it built, the wife said, that's ugly, I don't want that. I don't know what the deal was, folks. But for some reason, they hadn't counted the cost far enough to finish the building of that house. Okay? Now, is there a cost to our Christianity? Is there a cost to our Christian service? Absolutely. You may have to give up family. You may have to give up your own life. You've got to bear your cross on a daily basis, don't you? And those are big things to think about, aren't they? And before you do it, you better what? Count the cost. What's so scary to me is I think we've got a lot of Christians who've become Christians that never really counted the cost. They had no clue what the cost was going to be. They still don't know what the cost is. Okay? And a lot of them, had they really known the cost, probably would not have become Christians. Okay? It's even too much to attend two or three times a week. Whew. Are you kidding me? That's a big cost. It blows my mind. Okay? But our Lord said, count the cost. You see, you've got to do what? You've got to what? Make up your mind that you want to do this. Folks, our theme for this year is to sow the seed, to spread the gospel, to talk to others about the plan of salvation. Is there going to be a cost? Yes. And you've got to decide at some point that I'm going to do this. And how sad it will be if we walk out and decide not to, wouldn't it? See, here, that's the other point that we need to make, is that when you're counting the cost, you have to also count the cost of not doing it, don't you? Is there a cost of not sowing the seed? Oh, man. And sometimes, folks, the cost of not doing it can be much greater than the cost of doing it. Do you know that? So that's point number two. You've got to make up your mind. And I'm asking you to do that today. Let's make up our mind right now, this Sunday, today, that guess what? This coming year, this congregation is going to focus on sowing the seed of the kingdom. Trying to convert people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks. We've got to make up our mind. Point number three, dedication, disciplined. Dedication, disciplined. Does every work that you engage in have certain disciplines that have to be learned in order to do that work well? Yeah. Okay? Every one of them. I mentioned being at Federal Express. They start you off loading those containers, don't they? Well, guess what? Do you think there are certain disciplines that you have to follow in order to load those containers well? Sure. You think there's packages that are over 50 or 60, 70 pounds? Oh, yeah. Guess what they teach you to do? How to pick one of them scoundrels up. You know it? I'll never forget it. Okay? Don't bend your back. That's the hardest thing. You better have some strong legs, man. You know it? Did that a few times. Get somebody else to help you, whatever it is, okay? There are disciplines. You load that container, and guess what? Do you start with the little packages on the bottom and build up to the big packages? No, don't do that. Dude at the other end, open the door, and everything fall out on him. Okay? You don't do that. There's certain disciplines to follow, even in loading a little container, okay? And it's that way with everything. Are there certain disciplines that come along with soul winning? Oh, yeah. There are certain disciplines that you're going to have to learn. And Margaret, while ago, made mention of one of them, folks. And one of them is this, Bible study. Okay? If I'm going to be a good soul winner, I've got to discipline myself to do what? Study the Bible, don't I? And not only do I have to study the Bible, but I have to study what? I have to study the beliefs of other people about the Bible, don't I? I read the Bible, and I read that verse, and I believe it says this. And they read that verse, and guess what? They don't believe it says that. And if you haven't studied that, it'll drive you crazy. Did you know it? Because they'll look at you and they'll say, oh, that's not what that verse really says. Oh, really? What does it say? And they'll tell you, and you go, wow, never thought about that. Then you look kind of foolish, don't you? So Bible study, number two. Do you have to learn how to make contacts? Do you have to do that? Learn how to make contacts? Sure. You've got to learn how to do that. Okay? If you ever become a part of a multi-level marketing system, do you have to learn how to make contacts with people? Yeah, they teach you that, folks. Right? This is who you contact, this is what you say, all the stuff you have to learn how to do. And that's what we're trying to do with these little things that we're asking you to do each week, right? Make a contact. All you got to do is walk to somebody and say, hey, my preacher's got this wild idea down at church. He wants me to ask you two questions. Okay? You know what? They'll feel sorry for you. Poor thing. Why does he want? And just ask him. He wants to know where you go to church, and he wants to know why you go there. Just blame it on me. Start off that way at first, okay? That's okay. But see, at least we talked to somebody. That we made a contact with somebody. What if somebody, after you've said that, what if they say this? Well, I know you go down there to the Church of Christ. Why do you go there? Uh-oh, they done messed up. Hadn't they? Not really. They've asked the right question, haven't they? That's a wonderful question. And I'm so glad you asked it. You got a time to sit down and study the Bible with me, and I'll show you exactly why I go down to the Church of Christ. Tuesday night, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, what about it? Guess what you just did? Just set up a Bible study, did you not? Maybe your first and last once you get there, right? But folks, we just got to make the contacts, and you got to learn how to do it. Do you have to learn how to conduct a study? Yeah. And folks, there's a lot of different ways. There's fishers of men. Several of you have gone through fishers of men. I know that because Wayne conducted the study here. Okay? Didn't he? Some of you have been trained to do open Bible study method. That's a real simple method. Some of you have been trained in the Jewel Miller, used to be film strips. We don't say that anymore, do we? Okay? Jewel Miller CDs, you know, or DVDs, we've stepped up. And some of us have our own study methods, don't we? Okay? And so, however you do it, you've still got to learn a method of studying with somebody. Okay? And so, that's a discipline, isn't it? You've got to dedicate yourself. You know, if I want to teach somebody, I've got to learn how to do this. I've got to find a method that's comfortable for me to do that. Okay? What about this? Answering questions? You think there's going to ever be a question asked you? Y'all down there at that Church of Christ, y'all don't use this, do you? Why? Uh-oh. Well, we just don't like instruments. We don't say that. Folks, I like an instrument as much as anybody. Okay, when I was a little kid from first grade till sixth, seventh grade, my mom and them, they made me take piano lessons. And I still like the piano. There's nothing wrong with an instrument. That's not why we don't use instruments, is it? Okay, Beverly? There you go. That's sweet. Man, did they really? Isn't that funny? That's why some people think, you know, they are relatively expensive. Can be, can't they? And so, you know, but you need to be able to answer questions. Here's another one. You've got to be able to counter objections. Did you know that? Counter objections. You make a good solid point, right, about a verse. Maybe Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And you say, see, their baptism's absolutely essential to salvation. And they say, wait a minute. You didn't read the whole verse, and you didn't. But he that believeth not shall be what? Shall be damned. That's their counter. Okay, we focus on the first part of the verse. They focus on the second part of the verse. Okay, he just said, as long as you don't believe, you won't what? Be condemned. So all you have to do is believe and you won't be condemned. No. What did he say to do? Believe and be baptized to be saved. Why did he say, he that believeth not shall be damned? Because if you don't believe, you're not going to be what? You're not going to be baptized. You didn't have to say that in the second part of the verse. Okay? But that's one of their counters to you. And so you better know the counter. Okay? And understand what they're going to tell you. You have to accept rejection. Yeah. Folks, you may talk to 50 people before you get one good Bible study. You know that? That means 49 people's told you, nuh-uh. I don't want that stuff. That's not fun, is it? Just everybody tell you no. You begin to think you're not very effective, right? Something wrong with me. Nothing wrong with you. Just get out there and tell you what. Find somebody, okay? Ms. Bev. That's right. Oh yeah. Gone. Won't ever study with you again. Yeah, it's true. And that hurts, doesn't it? You've invested 4, 5, 6 weeks and all of a sudden, gone. You know? And those are tough times. What about, does it take discipline to schedule your time with another person's time? Yeah. It's tough. You know what? That's tough to do sometimes. Can we meet? Yeah. I'd like to meet with you. When you want to meet? Let's meet Tuesday. You got a dinner date with your wife Tuesday. She's going to kill you. Right? What do you do? See, you got to discipline even your time sometime, don't you? It gets tough, folks. There's just no doubt about it. And all of us only have so much time, right? And it gets tough. So you've got to learn all these different disciplines. Turn over to 2 Timothy for just a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, Paul introduces Christianity to us in three figures, okay? And the three figures are these. Number one, a soldier. Number two, a runner in the Olympics. And number three, a farmer, okay? Listen to what he says. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And a man strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. So we have three things, don't we? You've got a soldier, you've got a runner, and you've got a farmer. Question. Are there disciplines in all three of those occupations? Yeah. Notice what he says about the soldier. He endures hardness. Folks, why does a soldier go through boot camp? To learn how to do what? Endure some hardness, doesn't he? Okay. And he says also the soldier does not entangle himself in the affairs of the world. Is that a discipline? Oh, yeah. You know, I can't be running around out here doing all this goofy stuff all week, and then, you know, all of a sudden there's war, and I got, oh, got to go, you know. He didn't get involved in the affairs of this world, okay? He focuses on what? He focuses on being a soldier, does he not? What about a runner? Does a runner have to be disciplined? Yes, the text says he has to strive lawfully, right? You got to run the right distance. You got to run the right track. You got to stop at the right checkpoints. Oh, Ed knows about all that kind of stuff, don't you? You see, a runner's got to strive lawfully, folks, to win the crown, doesn't he? Have there ever been individuals who've tried to cheat to get the crown? Oh, man, look through history. And once they got found out, guess what? It's over, wasn't it? You don't get the crown. Because it takes discipline. You got to do the right disciplines. What about a farmer? Are there certain disciplines that have to be done as a farmer? Oh, yeah. Certain things you've got to learn how to do, right? I'm amazed that a farmer, he's not just a farmer, he's a mechanic, isn't he? Most farmers are. And pretty good mechanics at that. Because you see, they've got a lot of equipment. If they had to always ship that stuff out, number one, it'd take a lot of money. Number two, they may not get as fixed as fast as what they needed to be fixed. So you see, they don't just discipline themselves in farming. They discipline themselves in a lot of other different things. Do they have to be good accountants? Sure. Farmer's got to keep up with what's going on financially, doesn't he? And there's a lot of different things that he has to discipline himself to do as a farmer. Now notice what Paul does. Paul says that Christianity is like those three occupations. You think it's going to take some dedication and discipline? Yeah, you've got to dedicate your discipline. Okay? The last point is this. Dedication, dedicated. Okay? Folks, you can't quit. Okay? Once you've made up your mind, okay, I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to do this. Then guess what you have to do? You've got to dedicate your dedication. I'll never stop. Is that what the Bible tells us to do? Let me just run through some verses. And you should be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Mark 13:13. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. Patient continuance in well-doing, folks. Colossians 1:21-23. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 10:38-39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Folks, we maybe need to read that some. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. What's Revelation 2:10 say? Be thou faithful unto death, and you shall receive a crown of life. Folks, you don't stop. See, you got to dedicate your dedication, okay? Oh yeah, I'm dedicated. Next week, where are you? Dedicate your dedication. I'm going to always do this. And I will never quit doing this. That's what it's going to take, isn't it? When the Lord sees your life, does He see someone who's dedicated to the cause? See, it's not about anybody else in here but me. You know that? When the Lord looks down, He sees Victor Eskew. That's what matters. And when He sees me, does He see me dedicated to the cause? Or does He see something else? Part-time dedication? Lukewarm dedication? One time a week dedication? Convenience dedication? Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear unto all. Folks, give yourself wholly to what God wants us to do. Then we'll be well-pleasing to Him, won't we? Dedication. Come back tonight. We'll talk about another characteristic we've got to have.